Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk episode 38. My name is Zoinks, and this is a competitive Pokemon Unite podcast here on the Unite Mics Network. I am so happy to join you after Pokemon Unite World Championships just happened in London a few short days ago. It feels like it's weeks and weeks ago now that I'm back to the classic 9-to-5 grind of work, but I am joined by some amazing people for this episode. We're going to be breaking down all things worlds, things that we loved, things that we absolutely did not, regions, meta, Pokemon selection, everything under the sun. We're going to talk about it all today, but let's introduce everybody that's joining me, especially for those in podcast land who don't get to see your lovely faces or Discord icons. Pikadiff, why don't you kick us off? Who are you?
Hello, everyone. It's Pikadiff from IX Gaming.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, seriously, everybody, you should know who Pikadiff is at this point. Snorlax extraordinaire. I was gassing up your Snorlax on broadcast as much as I possibly could. So fun to watch. Sneaky Seal, let's get your introduction as well.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I think I just sat on something. Oh, it's my exclusive London 2022 Pikachu plush. This is what you miss out on by not going to the event, guys.
Oh, good.
Let me just throw him back there.
If you have more show-and-tell items that you need to bring up, I will absolutely allow you to have a show-and-tell segment on the show,
by the way. I'm the Sneaky Seal. I don't even know what to call myself anymore. I'm just somebody who likes watching the game and talking about the game.
Yeah. So, heck, you're honestly up there in terms of most appearances on this podcast, so that is going to be another title I have to give you very soon. You and Excellent are in a pretty dead race, I think, for most appearances. But then last but certainly not least, Ender, another addition to our show. How's it going?
Good, good. What's up, everyone? My name's Ender. I'm play for the Gaming Gladiators. I like to play support. I like Pokemon Unite. And I guess most people might be familiar with me as Indie Bear. I did change all my usernames and everything to Ender, but if people call me Indie Bear, it's all the same to me. Okay. I just really like the short username.
Nah, no, it looks clean. I am very happy you got that locked in on Twitch and everything. But yeah, as well, we'll plug everybody's stuff at the end of the show, of course, but these guys all got Twitch and Twitter. Make sure you are following, watching, all of that kind of stuff. But awesome, guys, we are going to get into this discussion here in just a second. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to talk about all the things that we liked, all the things that we didn't like about Worlds. That goes for format, broadcast, players, regions, everything that we saw, but don't worry, we will talk about it all. But let's just get a very easy blanket question out of the way to start. Well, let's just talk favorite moment of the entire thing. This is going to be your entire experience in London or watching broadcast, whatever it may be. Pikadiff, do you got one in your mind that you think was your favorite experience from the entire trip?
My favorite experience probably you know, the after party.
Yeah.
Just because, everything's over with and we finally get to, celebrate and meet everyone. And, the community is so nice and everything. Just to finally, just relax and, have a couple drinks and just talk with everyone. I feel like that's my favorite moment.
Somewhere right now, and I'm pretty sure it's Scotland, Dupesnax is absolutely glowing. He was so happy with the huge turnout to the after party. So if you were listening, everybody that showed up to the World's Poke Party at the Fox at London after the event, thank you so much for coming. It was very fun to chill and have drinks with everybody and really just, let the metaphorical hair down a little bit and get to know everybody a bit better. It was awesome. Sneaky Seal, you were putting in work at that party in terms of interviews and content, man. I was losing it at the Twitter feed. I absolutely loved it. But Sneaky Seal, what was your favorite moment of the entire event?
I think it would just be meeting everybody and hanging out with people and meeting even new people. I think I met the new Lucario guys and hung out with them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just went out. I think Goof, Toon, and Zugrug kind of grabbed me under their wing and showed me around everywhere. it was really fun. It was a good time meeting everybody. I think that's the best part.
Oh, okay. Awesome. All right. Well, a generic, maybe not moment, but yeah, meeting everybody was easily the favorite part. That's awesome. Ender, how about you?
Obviously, I didn't go, so I didn't really care to meet any of you guys.
Sure. Avoided us. Yeah, we know. It's okay.
No, but I mean, it sounds like you guys had a lot of fun, which is great. But for me, I was co-stream and watching along with my community and In terms of, I'll give you a game moment, you know, because we're talking more like macro level of the event, like actual within one of the games. There's a set that didn't make it to the official broadcast. It was Nouns versus, I believe it was iClan. And Adesu, like, it's an elimination match. Nouns in the lower bracket, they're down. It's 1-1, it's game three. And Adesu with 100 or 50 cap on Sylveon finds his way to the top lane. Buzzer beater score ends up going in and saves their tourney run. And obviously, they end up making it to the finals. And yeah, we saw it on like a little flip phone worth of camera quality. I think Comp or one of the EU casters was recording that.
I was sending some stuff into the Floatstone Discord. I was like, because the B side games just weren't shown at all sometimes. So I got on there, and it was that one specifically was very hyped because we were not sure that Sylveon dunk went in, and they that was like that was the beginning of their insane losers run because it was just crazy losers run after, you know, game after game.
Yeah, that was that was sick. I don't know if we'll see anything like it ever again, actually. But yeah, sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I hope there's like a way that we can get those games so that maybe people could cast them offline. I mean, I'm gonna keep pushing for them because if you think about it, like it's our first Pokemon Unite Worlds, first official event, and some years down the line, like this history will be meaningful, right? Then I think there just shouldn't be games that are lost like that. Like some teams, some players might be their only chance at being on the big stage, and those might have been some games that might just be missed out on.
That's true. All right, well, let's jump into it then. If we're already discussing something like this, let's jump into our criticism of the event. Now, there's obviously going to be a bunch of stuff that we can talk about. This Worlds definitely was rocky, to say the least, as definitely day one, day two got better, but it had its fair share of problems as well. But Inda, you bring up a good one. One of the big issues that we hit at the start was not every single game was broadcasted. Now, I have my thoughts on this. Inda, you already shared yours. This is going to be we're going to have some missing games of the Worlds. You're right. This is a forgotten history. There are matches recorded. Potentially, I don't know for a fact that every single one was, but I know the vast majority have been, so that is some content that can be produced. Pikadif, what are your thoughts on not every game at the World Championships being broadcasted in some way?
I think Indy hit it right on. Obviously, it sucks. Like, you want, you know, stage A and stage B to be both like stream so everybody could watch because there were some intense games that. You know, nobody could watch it. And also, you also have like fans, family, and you know, watching as well, and they want to support you. So it kind of sucks because sometimes they stream the stage B, but they wouldn't just tell you. They just, you know, it's a commercial, then they just put the stage B games on.
Yeah, not a part of the scheduling thing too. Yeah, that's a good point. Sneaky Seal. Yeah, anything you want to discuss about this?
I didn't plug in my phone the night after or day one, and I missed a little bit of Blackhand and no show,
We
and
counted on you for so much.
I know. I was carrying the crowd by myself, guys. It was hard work out there. I lost my voice yelling. But
There
no,
was a decent crowd. Come on now. They were
it
putting in
was
some
all
work
me,
too.
all me, all me. And but the I mean, I'm not gonna get to see it. I don't. So that's unfortunate. But I think next year or whatever, for even for regionals or anything, we want to be able to see every single game. The same problem as regional finals is players had their spectating off and we didn't even get to see half the content. That's not good for fans, you know, across any sport or esport, to just not show games.
Yeah, no, it definitely is a good point. I It's tough because we are, since this game is tied to the Pokemon World Championships, which is actually going to be, like, I think a little bit of a source problem for a few of the things that we'll discuss that we didn't like, since we are tied in that way. There's a pretty huge time constraint on things that we are allowed to do. And I know that was one of the reasons that we had to slow pace that a little bit. A lot of solutions can be created for that problem. Even just saving the footage and putting it up later is one. It's not a great solution. Like, there's better ones out there that we could be doing for sure. That is kind of a last case scenario that I think still could be pushed for. So I'm glad you're pushing for that still, Ender. I think that would be a great thing to happen. I think, honestly, just getting more talent in, and just, like, you know, getting more casters, more broadcasters, then we can have two streams going on at once, which would be amazing. It's just, okay, listen, this is not excusable, but it's one of the reasons that we're in this. Pokemon World Championships have been a thing for a long time, and that means that they have their rhythms, their ways of doing things, and never in any world has any of their games had every single game broadcasted. That just doesn't exist, and I think we are in some severe growing pains of trying to break away from normal Pokemon way of doing things and trying to be an esport, but also still really wanting that Pokemon brand and that Pokemon boost and that attach of being to the World Championships. And it's a tough place to balance. It is a really tough place to balance for sure.
I think Nintendo has shown they're capable with Smash Brothers. Even Smash Brothers is able to hire a lot of talent to just... with VG, I think it's VGC Boot Camp or whatever, have like 1, 2, 3, 4 side streams, and you don't miss a game of a big ultimate bracket. I think it's something that could, you know, fix. Like you said, it is an easy solution, but we're working with the Pokemon Company who...
Right. Yeah, so we're kind of locked in a few spots in this year. I think there could easily be improvements for year two. That is definitely one of the things I would love to check off. Bring in more broadcast talent if that's in. Add a whole nother gameplay day. Like, Pigatiff, would you like hate to be, you know, having longer wait times between your games if it meant that you were like all these games would be able to be broadcasted?
If they have a set schedule and like it was longer, it would have been a lot nicer instead of just waiting all day and waiting for a next match.
Right.
Because we had like a set match schedule for like at like 2:30, and then we didn't get to play it till 3 hours later. And
we're just waiting all day.
And especially with like jet lag too. Like we were there for like only like 4 days before like the big event starts. So.
Yeah, no, that is definitely true. I mean, technical problems, there was a variety of them in day number one. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about broadcast issues in general. Tech pauses, game crashes, fill time, everything under the sun.
Red ping on LAN.
Well, not LAN. Definitely not LAN.
Technically not LAN, but you're in a building. You flew all the way there.
It was a sick combo, though. Yeah. yes, the red ping situation is absolutely rough. Sneaky Seal, any definitive thoughts that you've had that you've been able to stew on a plane ride home? Broadcast issues. What were you thinking?
I didn't really technically watch your broadcast, but... Like, I mean, day one, I think I woke up at 7:30 and made my way to the venue to be on time. And then I think what it was like the Revenant player DC'd on the beach. And then there was the main stage broke or something. How does the main stage break?
I can discuss main stage a little bit. I think this is just a bit of a Switch hardware issue and just like... Yeah. Program staff, not our broadcast team, but program staff not knowing how Switch hardware works sometimes. Because if you have an Ethernet cable plugged into a Switch, it has SID saved from Wi-Fi, it will try to switch to the Wi-Fi, which sucks and took staff by surprise because they didn't set it up that way. And so that was tough to manage. Huge growing pain. Got solved for day number two, but still tragic that it happened on day number one. Ender, I am excited to ask you about this because you had to wake up, you know, early, early in the morning, and you had to deal with some crazy, crazy delays. How tough was it on you doing a co-stream like that?
It was pretty annoying, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it started off okay. I mean, I was just doing it for fun mostly, so I didn't have many expectations going into it, and I don't think anyone is gonna come out of it thinking like, oh, that's not something they should improve on. So
yeah,
there's no real criticism other than just be better
for sure
next time, right? Like, but what I will say, some of the things that did go right was day two. There was like a pretty long stretch where it was just game after game after game after game. At least from a broadcast perspective, like they're swapping between the stages. I think they went onto the B stage for a while to broadcast it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they could figure out how to get to that kind of pacing, that like couple hour stretch of day two, I mean, the possibility is there, and I think it'd be pretty good to go with.
We kicked ass day two. I definitely think we kicked ass there for a while. The pause that we had to take from broadcast was like not in our fault, or it wasn't even error on anything. It was... Mm-hmm. Other games and Pokemon learning how these broadcasts work. And okay, so I need to ask everybody here. So the big pause that we had to take in broadcast, Pokemon Go finished their championships. They were doing a trophy ceremony. We couldn't be on stage for that. The internal debate we were having as a broadcast team in general was, do we make these players play on B stage and broadcast it so there's not a huge break on broadcast, or do we make a break on broadcast and get them to play on the main stage after the ceremony? Now, a huge caveat that we didn't know was going to happen. Nobody knew it was an executive decision that was not a part of us, was that all of a sudden we were on front page of Twitch and in a downtime and was not planned, was a really tough blindside for people to deal with. Nobody's fault, just like a miscommunication of a bunch of different parties trying to work to put a broadcast together. Unfortunate situation. It was a tough spot. The end up decision we had was we took a long break. We played the etiquette content piece too many times, but we did.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was... Mistakes were made. It'll be better next year, for sure. But instead, we eventually finally got a game that happened in the past. Jake and Kirk broadcasted that one. It was pretty fantastic. But what were your guys' thoughts? Should we just made the players play on B stage, or was it right to hold off and get them to play on main stage?
I'll go first. It's like you said, it's a tough decision to make. Uh-huh. But like, just having the tournament just 2 days, like in short notice, is just that the show must go on, right? I feel like you want to keep going, and for them too, what they want like good viewership as well. Because if they just have people waiting all day, they could lose viewership and lose people as well, because they don't know when the next game is going to be. So that's my opinion on it. Yeah. I feel like they should just keep going.
Yeah.
Then in the future, like say if there's Pokemon Unite Worlds 2, two, like expand the day so it could go, things could go a lot better.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Sneaky. You gotta go with the flow. What was the game where the whole stream went down? And then they ended up getting the guys with the sick... He's got the sick camera.
That was a whole nother issue. That's... I specifically don't think I can talk about.
No, that's fine. That was tough. But the guy gets his camera out on a player's screen. That was literally better than the stream just ending. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, so shout out to that guy. The Steadicam workers in general... in the game, were like at the broadcast station, were so good. The shots like on stage with those steady cams were amazing. I mean, that moment in particular, I've never had to cast a game through another camera pointed at a monitor screen, but we did it. But the camera work in general, I mean, Adesu flashing the Dragonite card to camera and stuff, like some pretty awesome moments. I think the camera crew were absolutely killing it. Okay, I think we talked about broadcast enough. Everybody, like Ender, you said it best, I think. Everyone has feedback. Like, everyone definitely knows it could be done better. We all hope that it'll be done better in the future, and I think that everybody is going to be thinking the same way. Let's talk about the last glaring thing that I think got talked about a lot, even prior to the event. That is the group's seeding. Now, the group seeding was pretty rough, and then because of that, it had a kind of a cause and effect daisy chain going into day number two as well, where we had North America versus North America, Korea versus Korea in a like a second round of bracket because of the way that the groups were seeded even in day one. We talked a lot about why we don't think that that is correct, why it should have been done a different way. Does anybody have any extra opinions to throw out towards this group seeding that, you know, like change, anything like that we need to mention?
I guess maybe you guys might have had some conversations like online or whatever, but for me, and I guess like the audience that kind of was like from a broadcast perspective, how could the seeding like have been different to produce different results? Because from my perspective, like, weren't the two NA teams matched against each other because of how they placed in their individual groups? And had the other, if the results had been different, we would have had two international matchups there instead.
That is so true. In my opinion, though, I think it was just because we have A, B. So they follow how they did it all year, basically, right? Where if you lose, you're on the lose bracket. But the groups are A, B, C, and D, which are, you know, East and then West, right? So then I think they could have easily just done A, C, B, and D in the top eight there.
They would have had to change their bracket formation, though, because T2 got first seed going into bracket because they went 3-0. And in map record, too, they were, like, ranked first seed. And technically, Black Ant was second seed going in out of bracket because of dropping games to, like, Eichlin and stuff like that in there.
Is that how they did it? And they didn't just throw them all in there? They gave them first seed? I thought they just did A, B, C, D in, like, groups and gave, but I don't know.
I don't believe so, but this is something I'm, like, completely speaking out. That's what it looked like in bracket page to me. I'm not too sure. Pikadif, any more opinions on this, on the group seeding and things like that?
As a player, I would have liked to play, like the Asian team or even OCE. Like, it would have been nice because the whole entire tournament, we only played one APAC team, and that's Eternity, the Korean team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, it would have, like, even though, like, we scrimmed against, like, T2 and Secret Ship and stuff like that in Nolicario, like,
yeah,
it would have been nice to play against them on LAN.
For sure. Yeah, I think you guys were maybe the biggest, like, victims, like, you and Zeus, maybe, of this group seeding position. You didn't get to play that many and things like that. But, Ender, you were also correct. Due to the seeding of the tournament, it would have been tough to get a better system. I honestly think just doing it better in groups is a nicer format. And then if things like NA versus NA and Korea versus Korea happen in bracket, so be it. We got a little bit of more exciting action on day one, I think. Especially if, God forbid, we don't get to broadcast every game out of group stage and things like that. But, yeah, that is my opinion on that things. That was pretty much all I had of, like, the major categories of criticism and things I wanted to bring up to discuss on the show. Do you all have any more things that you're like, I really need to get this off my chest? This could be done so much better headed into year number two.
There's something I want to talk about,
okay,
and it's a criticism, but I want to know, I guess, the opinion of you guys here.
Sure.
Me and the stream had a pretty tough time, like, with the camera work in game being done.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
what, like, do you guys think, like, obviously it could be done better, but what do you think the issues around that are? Like, how can we get that better? Like, was that something you guys noticed as well?
I'm the sneaky seal. I did it for every single tournament from February to June. You should hire me to do it because they would just be, they're fighting up here above Dreadnought and they'd be watching the one guy hit the Dreadnought and be like, show, I'd scream.
Yeah.
From the audience, move the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Story behind this there. This is not an excuse, but it's definitely because I have done so much in-game spectating in Unite. So spectator bug exists, free cam bug exists, and it's horrific. To circumvent that, the broadcast team has 3 observers in every game, in any given game that's being on broadcast. So if they hit the bug on one, they can transition to another. In one game I was watching, I clearly saw it happen on all 3 different observer cams, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is how did we make this happen? But you're right, in general, it definitely could have been improved upon. Yeah, I don't know. It was a tough angle for sure. I actually had drinks with one of the, like, observer directors in game and stuff at this event. We discussed, like, macros of the game, where I think the camera should be angled, and, like, especially the early game, different moments and stuff like that. I think there is definitely some work that could be done in terms of spectating improvements. I definitely noticed it. I mean, I was casting it and there was, like, things happening off screen that it is, I hate casting out of a kill feed, right? Like, that is the last thing that any broadcaster wants to do. I mean, I know for a fact that both Ender and Sneaky Steel, you guys have casted a bunch before as well. You're going to be feeling that. Pikadif, I'm not sure if you've done any casting, but yeah, it is, camera work could definitely be improved upon.
Yeah, I would go as far to say that, like, there are certain games that I feel like the stream just didn't get to experience the right way.
Yeah.
Because of, like, a macro level decision on what was being focused on during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And to no, like, no fault to the individuals that are behind the observer slots. It's not an easy job, obviously, especially mm-hmm. like, all the pressure on them. But it makes me wonder why someone like Sneaky, you know, like, hasn't been reached out to. Like, clearly there's people in the scene that have experience with it, and it always bugs me that, like, competitive players aren't reached out to about this, because you could easily have someone as good as Sneaky, like, sit down with the observers, coach them, like give them, like, a week-long workshop and tell them, okay, you need to be watching this part of the game, and it would solve, I'd say, like 90% of the issues we had on stream, because we would just be
That's true.
watching the wrong lane of combat sometimes, like most of the time.
That is true. I am going to not disagree with you, but I'm going to put up a counter is yes, they are not reached out to and they're not conferred with. That is part because of his like a professional capacity. Like the all of these broadcasters are coming from other games, right? That they've worked professional level on these other places. What I would yes, it definitely could be reached out to more. I know for a fact some players were talked to at the event specifically about what to look at and things like that. So it didn't solve everything. What I would love to see is more like content creators putting out like meta to meta, like big macro style explainer videos. I mean, a lot of content creation, like especially from the higher end, like larger creators, ends up being just like, you know, your typical builds, your cool little watchable things. But like the main, you know, like meta discussion and big brain theory stuff is going to be put into like the streams. Indy, I know for a fact you have like Ender's University. That stuff is a godsend. That YouTube series is amazing. Everybody should go watch that. But I really do think if like the general populace became more informed on these things, then in turn the broadcast would as well.
Okay, me and Sneaky will do it then.
Perfect. I'd love to hear it. But yeah, make the content, and then like if the content is popular and big, the professionals will pay attention and watch. Like that is what is going to be that is what is going to turn heads, I think, is like my advice, I guess.
I like
Is the
it.
biggest thing. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. We hit almost every single note on criticism. If we have more that you want to throw out in the rest of the show, please feel free. We can discuss it and talk about it. But let's transition a little bit more. We watched Black Hand absolutely dominate through this tournament. They had a couple of close games for sure, but they actually at least soared, took the entire thing, won in an undefeated run. Very impressive. In your all opinions, what was the key to success at this Worlds? Was it big meta read, a ton of preparation, skill diff? What are we looking at? Pika diff, you were playing in this tournament. What do you think was like the key to success of winning this whole thing? Like if your team just would have had done this, you would have been able to get that first place spot.
I think one of the things would be playing heroes you're comfortable with, just because you know you're playing on a big stage and you know stage fright does come in and kick in, and you know, so just playing what you're comfortable with, get those butterflies out of your stomach the first game, and then you know, the next game, shake it off, whatever happens, and then move on and play your game.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. Comfort picks definitely seem to be a storyline that we were pushing through the entire tournament. A lot of teams defaulted to that and found a ton of success. So, Ender, how about you? You were watching as all the games that were put out on the broadcast. What do you think was the key to success at this World Championships?
I think Black Hand success, a lot of it just comes for like player on player per player, like individually skilled all across the board. They have excellent backing them up in terms of helping them adapt throughout the tournament and you know what picks can be successful for them. And they go into like the game with like somewhat of a plan in terms of how they want their early game to play out. And I think in general this is like reflective of NA. Like we really focus on the laning stage, winning those like neutral minions, whether it be like bottom lane mid Odino, top lane fighting, right? And it seemed like the other regions, they weren't as concerned about that, or at least, or maybe they were just getting diffed in terms of like the player difference. Like I don't know what their intentions behind it was, but clearly like both EU and then like NA teams, like they had a, I think I had a higher read on that, and I think that proved to be more successful, both for like Nouns and Black Hand.
Yeah, that's very true. Sneaky Seal, how about you?
And he said a lot. Exelon specifically brought up, I think even last night on his stream, that they basically won all their games from Hoopa play, like sending four people to one lane. A strategy they used 2 months ago to win first place in NA. And it feels like nobody had an answer to that. Basically they would send their four carries to go all dunk, and Blissey's just kind of standing there, you know, like, where did all my friends go? Well, they're 4v2 top versus, you know, whatever, how many people are on Blissey bot, and they're just winning. They get a larger lead there.
So, both of you kind of are talking about that. Would you say that the key to success for your two was just like hard meta reads? Like, you really think that that was a big point of success for teams at the World Championships?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of fair to say. Like, in terms of like the meta on how they want to generate leads, like not necessarily like their picks or whatever, but
Right, no,
you know, like
strategy in game for sure.
double XP share in most games, dual laning, like having the supports get their carries ahead, doing the 4-man top with the Hoopa portal, and then like having enough time to rotate back to Dread, like all that. Like, as I was watching the stream and seeing, he said this NA's been doing this for 2 months, so like all the NA teams are like, that's like formulaic gameplay. And I was surprised that they weren't prepared enough against those types of rotations.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Everyone was fighting in this tournament. It was a very strange tournament where everyone was just fighting. And because I'm used to watching even EU or Stamina or sometimes even some teams in North America just flip everything on spawn.
No, I don't think.
No,
I don't think that's right. No.
Never
Yeah,
seen that
that's
before.
never seen
No,
that
I
before.
don't think so. Next question. Next question.
So, well, that's what I'm saying. So it was a fighting tournament. So we get to see Kyrios Venusaur when I think he only played like tree and reach finals and some other stuff. Probably played Venusaur a little bit, but still, like it's not your main
Curious
pick.
but
Jungle
champ.
Jungle Buck Jungle got to play Cinderace. When was the last time? That was the only time we saw Cinderace because it just dies. Or I can't really like do anything versus flip comp sometimes. It was
Those
a
kind of
fighting
holes.
tournament, and that was, and honestly, we sent probably one of the strongest like teams of the fighting besides maybe the Game of Gladiators, to the
Maybe.
tournament. We got Overlord, Kyrios, insane.
No, they were absolutely sick. Awesome. Well, let's jump to the next question then. I think meta games, I mean, skill diff was definitely a huge part in terms of Blackhead. I really think that those were some of the best players in the entire world on their roles, and they were performing just absolute show-stopping gameplay. So
29K Greedent is the
29K
best
caps,
player in the world.
absolutely. Hey, I asked them on stage who said it was okay. but yeah, that's what they rolled with. That's what they won with. So who am I to say? What was all of yours biggest surprise of the tournament? Was it a region showing up that you didn't expect? Was it a specific pick to dominate the meta? Because if I gotta say, this rise of Snorlax in this tournament was a huge shock to me. You were playing lights out on that Pokemon, but for you, what was a big surprise coming into this tournament? I know you guys were saying that you were like shocked about how good the other regions were when scrimming.
So when we scrim against T2 and Seekishrimp, Shrimp, it's just how they open the game, you know? Like how I see this game is like chess, and there's different ways you can open the game. And the way that they open the game, is very different, and they like to level everyone out. Well, they even said to us that NA, they like to level one, like they like to farm one person out and then and just execute from there. So it's very, different. It's very nice to see different metas and different picks, like that we don't see here in NA. Like we see
For
Mamoswine a
sure.
lot in against Seeker Ship in T2, and we've seen Wiggly a lot as well. So it's very cool to see different metas and how they adjust to it and how they counter it as well.
I had a ton of fun watching that. Sneaky Seal, how about you? Biggest surprise of the tournament?
That Overlord plays Sword like he plays E-Speed Lucario. I don't that what was that? Where was that?
I don't know. Lord of the Sword,
That
man. Lord of the
yeah,
Sword.
I genuinely I was I it was so hype. Pokemon Company has to look at, you know, that those were like the most hype plays of the tournament was all the e-speeding, was the sword gameplay. Those are the things they need to look more into to like create hype moments for the game and like get spectators involved. Like what things you can clip and, you know, and post to Reddit or something. You know what I mean? Like hype gameplay is what you want, and those it was sword definitely for sure.
Big sword moments is your favorite surprise. Ender, how about you?
All right, I'm gonna flip it a little bit,
Okay.
and thing that surprised me that sucked the most,
Okay.
and you guys are a little bit more on the inside, so you can tell me like what the players' thoughts were on this Pokemon. But I feel like every Machamp game I saw was a huge letdown. That, what was going on with that Pokemon in this
Can
event?
I say the analogy I've been using? Is Machamp is you guys know who Orianna is from League of Legends? She has a
You're gonna
ball
have
and
to
she controls
explain
a,
it.
so she has a ball and basically it's a very strong pick at every single world's because if you hit a really good ultimate with her, it does a lot of damage and sucks everybody and groups them up into one space basically, right? And Machamp ult, everybody going into the tournament was like, Machamp's broken, Machamp's broken, it's gonna be using this. Don't think I saw a single good Machamp ultimate the entire
Not
match.
one. Not one.
Not one.
Not one.
Not
So
one.
it like and unfortunately, you know, sorry your teammate OG played Machamp. I don't I But sometimes they would just like punch the wall, and one arm would like the pinky would hit the wall, and he wouldn't move. And you're like, well, that's the end of the move. Now.
Not gonna lie though, I did grief OG one game, and I blocked him away from his ult. So if I didn't do that, it would have been, you know, we
might have been the one.
Nice that would have been the one bigotif. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to apologize for dodging the one. That is really, really funny. Yeah, I have to completely agree with you, Ender, because the amount that I heard, I was asking everyone, you know, trying to get rumors. Blaine was an iron wall. He gave me no information. Everyone else gave me as much information as they could. But they were also like, oh, Machamp's busted. Dude, Machamp's going to take Blaine. Over. Machamp's is going to destroy everything. And then Mame played Serena and stole my heart and absolutely took over. But yeah, no, Machamp was basically non-existent. My biggest surprise is still going to be Renaissance. I think that their play, how far they made it in the tournament, was like a shocker to me, especially playing the Pokemon that they were. I was pretty amazed by their gameplay. So yeah, Renaissance definitely was like the biggest surprise for me for how far they made it in the tournament.
We didn't get to see Renaissance or NT2 on stream, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that was the weirdest thing too, is if you go back and look at what T2 picked, they picked like Duraludon jungle and okay. Wiggly and they got O2'd and it like wasn't close from what I understand.
That's true.
I think they picked really weird stuff. So that once again though, like, you know, I'm not sure how strong one meta is. I don't think we got to see a lot of that from a spectator perspective. I think Pete right. mentioned something about scrims earlier. That's great. That for you guys, and I'm sure like you saw way more than us. We as fans did not get to see enough regions clashing, in my opinion. And so, well,
what about that Renaissance game against Blackhand? That, I mean, Renaissance showed up. I watched that game a second time, and I still don't really understand how they dominated the early game like they did.
Blackhand stole that game one. Like, it was ridiculous. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm going to call it courage. maybe foolishly so. That is a frontline Gardevoir. That guy was nuts. He's like, well, I'm not going to be in range for my Psyshocks if I'm not at the front of my team. So, the risk-reward calculation was done, and that guy was aggro. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think they even drafted. I think Blackhand even drafted like winning lanes. Like they picked things to try to win, and they just were losing. So
I think that's really one of the series. Reasons that maybe T2 picked some like weird stuff to try to play into them. But like the fact that Renaissance had that effect on a team, as I personally think, as good as T2, I think it's just also a mark of success. If you're going to that team on I want to say on land, but like in person events, having that intimidation and that surprise factor is another asset for your team. So I don't think I can completely detract their wins away, even if their enemy teams weren't playing as stellar of picks or anything like that. But
yeah. I think Renaissance is like, and credit to everyone on the team, because you know they all showed up for the event, and you know they definitely surprised a lot of people. But like you said, Zoinks, like they're like almost like live by Kamiru and die by Kamiru.
Absolutely, that is
he either
very
pops
true.
Off or he's like, not to say he's responsible for them losing, but, you know, they fall off when he's struggling as well. And, like, seeing on, I think, his final game out going flame-charged Delphox, like...
Yeah, that... they were grasping at something, right? Yeah. Like, they were looking for something.
And we were watching this, excellent night, sat next to each other the whole time, and we were like, well, Delphox doesn't look that bad here because the enemy team doesn't have a Blissey. Like, exactly. if he picks Fire Spin, I was like, Fire Spin, he basically wins.
And
flame charge.
They flame charged.
Okay.
It was a misclick. It was a misclick, I think. Man, so,
I mean, we had some misclicks. Pikachu, can you explain
Pikachu.
Interesting. Misclicks? Some
inside info. There was a couple misclicks.
Okay.
But, you know.
A couple? I heard about Triple Axel.
For us, like, going back, we didn't have a game on the main stage for groups.
Right.
So our first, like, main stage game was on the second day.
Okay.
And it was against Blackhand.
Right.
So, you know, just having, like I said, just having those nerves kicking in and like those butterflies inside your stomach. So if you didn't play on the main stage yet, obviously those are going to kick in and mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah. My gosh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Things like that are going to happen for sure. But okay, awesome. Well, guys, region wise, North America definitely looked very far ahead. Black Hand just dominated the tournament. IX, you guys had a fantastic run as well. You guys had maybe the most, you know, external out of game things that your team had to deal with. So definitely holding you guys back a little bit, but you had a great run in your own right. North America looks amazing. How about the other regions overall? Do you guys think that the other regions, like NA the top and then the other ones, do you think they were more balanced than you thought headed into the tournament, less balanced? Where were you guys' opinions? Ender, I know you had a lot of hope for these regions that a lot of people were looking down on. What do you think?
I really like the way he phrased that right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, I think the deep, thoughtful statement was good too. Sneaky Seal, while he's deep in thought, confounding his answer.
I didn't realize I was muted, guys. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I think some of these teams really surprised us. Like on the Eastern stage, like I was so impressed with No Show. Like just on an individual player level, like I didn't expect them to individually play as well as they did, and they were so impressive. T2 with like their kind of macro strategy, like not going to all the dreads, like it looked kind of scary, but they made it work, and they made it work really well, and they got pretty far in the tournament. iClan making it as far as they did, you know, on the hopes of like that Scald, that was
that Scald bro, was man. From
iClan, right? Yeah, that was something.
Favorite moment for a certain few, for sure.
I think like a handful of like teams that I think people probably like a lot of Western fans weren't a fan of. Like after this event, I know people in the Western community are like going to be following No Show.
Oh,
gonna be
for
following
sure.
T2. They want to like, you know, Mame probably gained so many international fans this tournament. Like even Blossom. Like I don't know. I was
just
so
Blossom
impressed.
Definitely has got some international fans. That guy has played amazing.
Yeah.
Whenever I saw him at the venue, guys, like I remember he was my first NA fan because I'd run up and I'd be like Blossom and I'd do like a Snorlax block. I'd say like you're the best Snorlax,
and then Blossom
Snorlax
ran away so fast.
No,
guys, you should have seen
it.
It was wild. Blossom.
I did an interview with him. I did an interview with
him. Yeah, dude. That was S4L's team, right? He was the Dragonite for No Show.
Yeah,
is that correct?
S4L was the
dude.
Yes.
They're not a team anymore. Did you see S4L's tweet? Yeah, No Show is there. They're calling it, which is a bummer. I don't think those players are gonna go anywhere. I definitely think that you will see them on some new teams. So if you're gonna want to watch some Korean Pokemon Unite, make sure you got your eyes peeled for players like them. I think they'll definitely make a wave. But a bit of a bummer for that one. I know that was one of the things we got criticized on broadcast quite a bit for, but huge Mame stan. I was absolutely losing it for that guy. That was amazing. Best arena in the world. Absolutely took over games. Love watching that. That was pretty exciting. For sure. Sneaky Seal, let me send the question towards you again, though. North America at the top, do you think the other regions were a pretty even mix, though?
Everybody impressed.
Okay, yeah.
And I just think I don't have an answer. I can't rank anybody. I don't think we got to see enough matchups still, unfortunately, is the biggest problem.
No, that's a
problem.
Fair question.
My boys IX here got eliminated by Random Gaming and Black Hand, who they played all year. Who knows how they would have fared against Renaissance or T2.
That's
when
true.
They played somebody, they beat you guys beat Eternity 2-1.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you won your best of three against the Eastern team. That stinks.
That's true.
We don't know still. I think that's unfortunately.
Bigative, how about you? You were scrimming these teams before the event. How do you think the regions were really playing out? Did you feel like everybody was like, did you think that every region was an honest contender headed into this event?
Yes. They made it for Worlds for a reason, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All I gotta say is that like they definitely keep you on your toes if you're not prepped for them and you haven't done any research. You know, obviously like there's always counterplays, it's this stuff and new ways and new strats.
Yeah.
But if you're not ready to verse any one of these teams, like you're definitely gonna have a difficult time.
Fair enough. All right, well, let's just hit a couple of rapid fire questions here near the end of the show. I wanted to ask everybody, do you have a favorite individual game of the entire tournament? Everybody can sound off. I think I'll kick off, though. I think my favorite was Nouns versus T2. I think that game was absolutely incredible there in the lower bracket. I thought it was so fun to watch. Sneaky Seal, how about you? Favorite game of the entire tournament?
I'm such a big Black Hand fan, but I think that T2 Nouns game,
so
I remember
good, man.
I remember running over to the brother, Bruv's brother, who's there, named Marsh Tomp, but I like calling him brother instead, and like hugging him for winning. Like, it was so hype. Another good game would have been, so those, I like the Black Hand Apprentice games at the very beginning of the day on the, during the group stage. Those were very close, because of, you know, maybe some misplays, but, they were very, it was a very close series.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Bigadiff, how about you? Favorite game of the entire series or tournament?
Favorite game, probably Black Hand versus Eichland.
Okay.
It wasn't streamed like, on Twitch or anything, but like, I got to see it live, and those three games, like, it was a best out of three, and it was really close games.
Yeah.
Like, all three games were really close, and they lost within, like, 10 points or within one score. So that has to be my favorite series.
Okay. So Sneaky's, like, not close. Black Hand dominated.
Well, no. Green and Greninja was really funny. Like, just...
Sure.
Hearing about it a few days before, and then Excellence being like, here's the thing, we haven't lost with it. Like, and then I'm like, there's no way they do it.
Nah.
And every single day, they're like, gree, that's the comp we're going to play. And then they pick it. It's so stupid.
It works. It worked, though. Ender, how about you? Favorite game of the entire tournament? You are muted, if you didn't
know. I am muted, yeah. I want to say Nouns in T2 for sure. But what I want to actually give a shout out to is Bruv Mime. Like,
true,
I feel like we didn't get to talk about that as much. And
so good.
I mean, insane meta call, right? Like, all these teams like playing such weak laners across the board. Bruv just sits there, gets his level 4, outfarms everyone, has his ult for first dread.
So good, man.
Just controlling the map overall. So I don't know. I think the Bruv Mime definitely deserves a shout out on its own.
Absolutely.
And I think it took Nouns pretty far in the tournament.
Yeah.
On the back of that Bruv Mime.
That's true. I liked it a lot. Well, then let me throw this next question right back to you, Indy. Who do you think was the MVP of this tournament? Most valuable player, the entire thing.
I mean, it's really easy to say Overlord.
I
think he deserves it. And I think everyone would be foolish to not include him as their number one.
Okay.
But I think if I wanna
Okay,
you know,
and
look
your
at,
shout out as well. MVP shout out, and your shout out.
It's going to go to Blossom.
Okay,
I think,
there you go.
I think it's, you know, there's the Mames and the Ruins and all the Kamirus and these DPS players. Support and tank players don't get enough love internationally. And I mean, Blossom clearly was just going crazy. I mean, Pikachu, your Snorlax is nuts too, man. Don't get me wrong. I wanted to see you on Blissey because I think you have, like, genuinely, I think your Blissey is one of the best in the world. But regardless, I mean, I think Blossom played out of his mind and deserves a shout out for sure.
Okay. Big shouts. Pikachu, let's go to you next. Who's your MVP of the tournament and where do you want to give your shout out to?
Obviously, it has to be Overlord.
Okay,
you know,
fair enough.
Give us your two. Playing,
top lane and jungler, playing two different roles on stage and on a big stage. That's just insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
Props to him for doing that.
Yeah, who's your second, though? If we can't all just say. Like,
probably Mame, Serena.
Okay.
Playing against his Serena during scrims, like, obviously gave our team a difficult time.
Okay.
His Serena was pretty good, and props to him for doing that.
Fair enough. Sneaky?
Gonna give it to Adesu. I've never seen... I saw a lot of tweets that were like, Dragonite sucks, you know, Dragonite doesn't secure anything. And then I watched this guy do, like, the longest loser's run of all time where he secured everything important. it was sick. Good job for securing everything on, and I think he would deserve MVP. If they had won the series, he'd probably get MVP of the whole tournament.
Yeah, I think so. He's a huge contender. That was awesome to see. Okay, well, very cool. We got our MVPs of the tournament. We have our favorite moments, a ton of criticism given, everything like that. We're hitting to the end of our show in terms of time for today. I'm not going to wrap it up quite yet, though. We're going to talk a little bit about what we want for Unite in Season 2. Now, not just the game. I'm going to be talking about the competitive competitive scene as a whole. Now, this is going to be everything leading up to Worlds and Worlds. I don't want to have a huge discussion. We only have a few minutes left for sure. But maybe what's like the biggest thing on your wish list that you would love to be there for Season 2? Like I said, can be about the entire run-up or the Worlds event itself. Ender, I know you talk a lot about this on your stream and even on Twitter and stuff, but is there one thing that's really outlined to you that you're like, I would love this for the championship series in Season 2?
I want to see draft. I want to see them add draft to the game. I think it'll be a good layer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that would be absolutely amazing, pretty game-changing, but it would be very, very exciting. Sneaky Seal, how about you?
It's a tough question. More teams in general, and cool, making sure everybody can have their visas so they actually get to go.
Yeah,
I don't think that's something they can really do, but you know, let's hopefully we can figure it out.
Yeah, if we're gonna put blame on that one, that's like a country problem, right? Lot of people got flagged for that. I was like so confused. I'm like,
no,
oh,
I don't think.
Yeah,
it's,
but it's like the country, but whatever. Yeah,
it could have been. It also could have literally just been player error too by not applying early enough. I don't know what it
was. No, it definitely wasn't because it happened with staff and players. Like it's literally just was London is a tough country to acquire a visa to in time. Like their wait period is super long, so that was a tough choice for sure. But
do we know if Japan is better?
It is for some areas of the world, yes. we will see. As my suggestion, if you want to attend Worlds and you need a visa to attend that country, I would look at apply as soon as possible. If it is financially within your means to do so, obviously. Please don't risk anything that could be detrimental to you. But Pikadiff, how about you? Wish list on Worlds number 2. What are you hoping to see?
Wish list Worlds number 2, probably different regions playing each other.
Cool.
Like mix up the group a little bit more, and maybe you know, like for regional for each country, maybe have a LAN just so people have that experience where they go on a big stage.
Absolutely,
would be pretty nice too.
Yeah, if AOS Cup was on LAN, that would make my entire year. Like that would be so exciting. I know it would be really difficult for all the teams to be able to make it. But Pokemon for trading card game and video game does give travel stipends to international cups, which are like there's one in North America, there's one in EU, one in Australia. There are travel stipends given to players. They are not the same amount that they are given for world championships. They wouldn't cover everything, but they would be a help. It would be so cool if we could have some kind of event on land. Yeah, and David in chat is saying if they constructed an actual AOS island, then he would go. Yeah, that's my wish list for Season 2. I'd give me an actual island to go to. That'd be so exciting. Yeah, I think all of those things would definitely Sneaky and Pikadiff, I think both of your wishes I can almost assuredly say will be guaranteed. Every vibe that we got from talking to people is that they want more world slots next year. Again, I definitely think that this first Worlds was rushed to make it happen for London. I think that's why the events were so close together. I think that was why there's so few events, in my opinion, to make sure that London did happen for the rest of them. So I think that is on there. Any last closing things? Anything that people would like, yes, okay, all those things are great, but I really want this coming into next year.
I want to see, and this is like an overall wish for Pokemon Unite in general.
Yeah.
I want to see a map rotation where we keep Remoat Stadium with the new map and the games go back and forth. And then, you know, combine that with the draft, you have your drafts for Remoat, you have your draft for the new map.
Cool.
And both in ranked and in the competitive format.
Yeah. I think that would be sick. I think that's like a year 3 thing, maybe like year 3 when you get another map. I don't know. I don't really think you can do a draft like that with only 2 maps, right? Like you would need at least 3.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we even know if the new map is like, is Zapdos just gone or are we?
It's confirmed for ranked.
That one? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Which I mean, it'll still be in there for like standard modes. I would be shocked if they took it out completely, but If they do, unfortunate. But if they don't, fantastic. I think that new map looks the hype, so I'm excited. New and variety is going to be good. Pigadiff, any last wishes that you would throw out in there? Maybe, I mean, your wish, I think, was a pretty easy one. Anything completely outreaching there? Maybe not as much as building an island like David wants, but maybe something a little more achievable somewhere in the middle.
Maybe more speedsters.
There we go. Give me more speedsters. I love that. This guy wants the Absol meta back. What a guy. All right. Fair enough. Sneaky Seal, any last wish to throw into the pot before we close this thing up?
Just give me every evolution at this point. I don't care.
Yes,
I just want
you.
8 EVs.
Yes. See, I feel like, I don't know if you're being sarcastic, but I am the ones that wants more evolutions. I feel like we're some of the only few that still want evolutions in the game. The transition. Yes, Umbreon. Give me Umbreon attacker. Give him Wish. Give him a Moonblast. Yeah. It would be amazing. Mm-hmm. This Pokemon would take over the game. Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, we are closing up on the show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, talking all things Worlds, the event, the gameplay, the broadcast. We tried to talk about and hit on everything. There's more discussions to come, though. Sneaky, I know in the future you were planning a episode of your own podcast with a ton of players on it. I know if you tune into Pikadiff's stream, he will gladly tell you about any of the events that happened with him and his team in the World Championships. And of course, Ender, I know that you have been showcasing everything Unite on your stream constantly. So that is going to be tuned into all those places. But I'll give you all the chance to plug them now on your own. So make sure that you tell the stream and the entire world, sell out, shout out, the stage is yours. Pikadiff, where can people find you on the internet and anything you want to shout out?
You can find me on YouTube, Pikadiff, or Twitch, Pikadiff _, and also on Twitter at Pikadiff.
Awesome. Very cool. Go follow the guy, one of the best Snorlax, and by Ender's recommendation, best Blissey in the entire world, which is some premium gas, I must say. So I hope you're taking that to Sneaky Seal. How about you?
You can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube /TheSneakySeal. I'm doing a player podcast, and Vizita and I have something really interesting in the works for this weekend as well.
Oh,
player,
man.
Podcast. I've got like 10 of these guys in a group chat right now. Gottlieb, Klaus, Overlord, Wraith, S4L, Untamed the Great, Retsu, and I even managed to grab a certain Pachirisu Worlds VGC 2014 winner. So it should be fun. We're working on time zone stuff because there's a bunch, but it should be fun to have them all in there. Basically, just to talk about whatever.
That'll be so fun. A little mini town hall, if you will, from some competitors. That'll be awesome. Very cool. Okay, Ender, how about you?
Sneaky Sing sounds way more exciting, but
it's true.
Mine is just twitch.tv/Ender or Ender Unite on other platforms. I stream every day. I try to make educational content to help everyone get better at the game, and I love Pokemon Unite.
Awesome. I love Pokemon Unite too. Well, awesome. If you want to listen to more episodes of the Overdunk podcast, we are on Spotify, Apple, Google Play, all of those good old places. If you're already there listening to that, please leave us a 5-star review. Helps more people find the show. And of course, more people find the competitive Pokemon Unite scene. So please check that out. All these episodes also get posted to YouTube, youtube.com/Pokemon Unite. Now, also one thing about this show, this one will probably be a little bit of a late upload. Dupe Snacks, who does like the editing and publishing of these videos, is taking an extended vacation. So this, if you caught it on Twitch, fantastic. We'll probably have the actual episode out on air a little bit later. But other than that, keep your eyes tuned to the socials of @UniteMikes on Twitter. We're trying to plan some cool events upcoming that we're really excited about. It's going to be very, very fun in the near future. So keep tuned to that. But for all of that, they have been Pikadiff, Sneaky Seal, and Ender. I have been Zoinks. This has been the Overdunk Podcast, and that is all for tonight. We will see you next week. Have a fantastic rest of your night. Goodbye.